What's going on, everybody? Alex here from the Green Up Academy podcast. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We've got a really special discussion with Mr. Greg Butler. He lives in Vermont. He owns Butler Lawn and Landscape. We met because he did a website with us here at what is now Backbone Creative, and we just become friends and acquaintances here in the industry. So Greg has a really cool viewpoint on business, on life, on how he crushes a small market. He's in a very niche and small market, and he's done really, really well. His revenue is over $500,000 a year. So in that market of less than 3,500 people, very impressive. So you guys are going to enjoy hearing Greg talk about integrity in business, how employees mean a lot to him, how they crush a short area of time with revenue, and just a lot of great things. So you guys sit back, relax, enjoy this conversation with Greg Butler and I. Make sure you leave us a review after you guys listen, and let's level up. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to the Green Up Academy podcast with Alex Kirby, where we focus on helping you level up your green industry business. Whether it's marketing, finance, employees, or strategy, we talk about everything on this show to help you apply it to your business and change your family and company's future for decades to come. Here's your host, Alex Kirby.
So Greg, fill me in a little bit on your location. I do want to know how long you've been doing it. I want to know, you're in Vermont, right?
I'm in Vermont, yep.
I don't know if you know this. You're the first person I've ever known who lives in Vermont. I'm serious. I've never met a single person in Vermont. So I want
to
know.
Welcome to the Green Mountain State.
I can't even imagine driving there from where I live. It's probably like 20-hour drive.
I bet it's probably 20 hours, yeah. Oh, I've got a buddy in Virginia, and it was 10 hours and probably a good 8 from there. So
yeah, it's probably, yeah, probably 8. So yep. Greg, how old are you? How many kids, family, wife? Tell us a little bit about you so we can kind of have some context before we jump into what's going on in your life.
All right, great. Greg Butler, Butler Lawn and Landscape. I'm out of Bristol, Vermont. I am 34 years old, happily married with a wife and two kids. Life is great. I really enjoy being self-employed and, you know, the flexibility of having my own schedule, basically, and doing work that I love is really where I'm at. So currently employed.
What was your genesis moment, Greg? What was like, light bulb came on, I got to get in business for myself?
Well, you know, it's that age old landscape guy story. Like, oh, I started pushing, mowing, you know, the neighbor's yard. And really the come to Jesus moment for me was, I was working for another company and I had kind of always done my thing on the side, and I was approached by another landscaper and said, hey, I'm looking to unload a bunch of junk that I just don't want. And he said, sweet. I want to give him a name. So I ended up getting, I think it was 16 accounts from this guy who just wanted to get rid of them. So
that's awesome.
I was working for another landscape company that did stonework and masonry and high-end landscaping. And I said, hey, I've got an opportunity here. Can I cut down to 3 days a week? So I cut my time down to 3 days a week for him. Was able to fill in on the side, and then it kind of just, I don't know, it strangely grew from there, and I don't really know how it happened, but hired a high school kid to help me, and you know, I was coaching someone in the baseball team there, so I had good connections with the guys there. And
what year was that?
That probably started in 2013, and then I was on my own in 14 completely.
So you've been 10 years now.
This is 10 years. Yeah. It's a big deal now.
Well, that's why I want to talk to you about it. Cause I think there's a lot of wisdom, crying, frustration.
Still is today.
I want to hear it. Yep. Actually, one of our guys, I'll give him a shout out. I know he listens, Dustin Penley from, he lives here in North Carolina. Yesterday in our Landscaper Lounge group, which is our like Facebook group. Are you a part of that group?
Yep.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. Did you see his post where he said, good morning. Anybody get shoved by an employee to start the day? Did you see that?
No, I didn't get that, but you know, I love the little banter that goes on there. Like, hey,
it's
you
a
know,
fun group.
Funny story. We were, so I live in a small town, less than 4,000 people, but we were doing a job on a dead end road the other day.
Yeah.
A car backed into one of our dump trucks.
Oh man.
So it was totally, you know, our truck was fine, hit the dump body, nothing major. The car got, you know, tail light got broken on it and stuff. Well, doesn't the guy come back later in the day? And he said, you know what? I'm going to call the cops and file a police report on you because I believe you guys were illegally parked. So I get the drama of this guy like, hey, did anybody get shoved today? No, we just got the cops called on us for parking and working on a job site and somebody else not paying attention. So
what ended up happening?
Haven't heard the end of it yet. This just happened 2 days ago. But, you know, they were like, hey, we just filed a report, send it off to the insurance. You know, the insurance says, yeah, you know, we're either going to cover it or we're not going to. And I don't feel like we did anything wrong. You know,
no, you didn't.
You're supposed to be aware of where you are when you're backing up a vehicle. So.
We had a hit and run one time where somebody was back. We were doing the same. We were in the neighborhood and a person was backing out of their driveway and they hit my guys, and my guys were like, you just hit our fender, and they pulled away. And so we had the same thing. The craziest thing that happened to me though is my guys were, we never had an, I don't know how this, but we never had an accident in my 7 years, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's like the weirdest statistic ever, having 8 trucks on the road like every day and not having a wreck is so weird. But we had one where a guy slammed on brakes on the interstate and he like barely hit a lady's bumper, right? Mm-hmm. So they call me. They weren't that far. So I went and met him at the gas station off the interstate. And it was like a 20-year-old girl. And in South Carolina, if you don't cause damage, it's like called a no-fault report incident or something like that. So
non-collision, yeah.
Non-collision. Yeah. And so the cop, the state trooper said, there's no damage to you. There's no damage to you. He's got a camera on his chest. The girl says, yeah, I'm no problem. I just want to get to work. And there was literally no damage to either vehicle. I don't even know if he hit her. I don't know. It was weird. And the next day, my insurance agent calls me, says, hey, we just got a claim against you for bodily injury. And I said, what?
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, this girl claimed that she has third-degree burns and whiplash. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, it's crazy. So whiplash and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I can give you the state. I got the state trooper's number. Like, we have it on camera. She is, like, laughing with me and joking about her job. Like, she's fine. Mm-hmm. And I called, long story short, I called the state trooper. I told him what happened. He said, like, give me 5 minutes. He's really upset at her. He called a girl and come to find out her dad was a lawyer.
So she
told her dad what happened. Her dad said, let's get some money out for your student loans. And, but she didn't realize he had a camera recording her the whole time. So the state trooper said, I've got it all on camera. You've got nothing. Drop the case. But that's the only thing that ever happened to us too. So
yeah, well,
that's
first
crazy,
time for everything, but, it was unfortunate and I guess we'll just proceed with it and see where it goes. But
yeah. So 10 years in, how many full-time team members do you have? And what is like a growing season there? Is it like 6 months? Like, 'cause it's so cold there, like months. What?
It's so different, from where you're at. So we're just barely breaking crews out to mow for the first time this week. So we don't have a full week of mowing under our belt yet. We usually mow about 18 to 20 weeks a year. Sometimes it gets pushed a little bit more. So I think you're probably doing what, 30, 35 weeks sometimes that area.
We start mowing weeds March 1st and we stop right before Halloween.
Okay. So you got an extra month on us anyway, but
2 months.
2 months. Oh, right, because it's May now. Huh? So we end up working about like a 33-week season. It's kind of short. We also do snow plowing, so we kind of fill that in the wintertime. I currently have 7 guys employed. They're all full-time through the summer. And I have 3 salary employees that I kind of made a change a couple years ago to to kind of lock them in because I really needed labor. I had these guys that were, they're older than me and I can really count on them. And so I kind of structured some kind of a very loose end salary and, you know, they get X amount a week and it helps me for budgeting and just knowing that, you know, you're not paying a bunch of overtime for these guys and they're going to be there for, you know, like 45 hours a week is basically what we structured it on.
What's a decent salary up there? I have no idea what it costs a living. Can you, what's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house cost right now in Vermont?
That's $500,000.
$500,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's the, everything is insane up here right now.
Yeah, it's that's double, know. Just so people know listening, that's double what it is here in South Carolina.
Yeah. Everything is expensive. I mean, I realize we're way up there. It's hard to get places. So we, I've got three guys on salary right now for 45,000. They're all about the same. So they do a lot of hours for me in the wintertime plowing. I try to incentivize them a little bit more to sweeten the deal. So they, you know, want to stay, they don't want a job search. You know, I give them a lot of free time and leeway. There's kind of some give and take in the wintertime. You know, I have to kind of let go a little bit. But, you know, I know that come, you know, come April 1st, they're going to be hammered down.
Cool.
So they're good guys that I can count on. And, you know, I've got some younger people that wouldn't mind kind of moving into that position, but there's also like, oh, you know, I want the overtime or, oh, I want to, you know, work more. Oh, I can't work that much or I've got commitments. So there's a lot of, variables with salary as well, I think. So I'd love to.
Your revenues, your estimated revenues last year was what?
We're at like 540 for last year for gross.
That's good. That's good.
Payroll is a little bit, it's payroll is almost like 50% of gross revenue. So I'd like to kind of knock that down to like the 40, 45, like you were talking about in your little rule there. So,
is that including yours though?
I have to check on. I'm not good with my numbers that much to know, but it probably is including mine. It makes sense.
If it includes yours, it's maybe okay. But yeah, 35-40% is kind of where you want to be with the payroll outside of yourself.
Yeah.
All right. But it's tough right now. I mean, that's one reason why I sold. I mean, you know, I've been saying the story. There's 6 slices of the pizza why I sold. The main 3 slices of it was I didn't want to build a $1 million facility right now. And that's what I was looking at. Our rent was $3,000 a month.
That is,
cash flow time. Like I probably should have looking back, you know, again, I'm in like reflection mode of trying to learn so I can help others and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't look early enough for a new solution. So I had a long lease. Like our lease was 1.5 years longer, but I had an opt out if after 60 days I could get out of it. And I should have looked, but I didn't. What I didn't think about was the growth that I would have in the midst of the lease, if that makes sense. So like we were out of space going into 2023.
Wow.
It was $3,000 a month, which is a lot down here. That's like $6,000 a month where you're at. And
I don't have to lease my building for as much. My father-in-law built the place, so I just rent it from him.
Well, that's awesome.
So that works out pretty sweet for us. And we have 5 acres, and so we got a lot of space.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I was just looking at, you know, I'd gotten some rough quotes quickly on like, you know, a nice 3-4 acres, and then the build out, not only is it going to take 8 to 12 months, but it's going to cost $800,000 to $1 million. And I was just like, man, I just don't want to do that. Yeah. So, hey guys, this episode is sponsored by Jobber. If you guys don't know about Jobber, they're the best CRM on the market for home and service-based businesses, especially in the green industry. I've partnered with Jobber for several years. I've used them when I had nothing but pen and paper doing schedules. And then I moved into Jobber for putting everything online, making it easy for my crews, my customers, and me. So if you guys want to check out Jobber to get invoicing done, scheduling, routing, all the things for your company, use our promo code in the link in this episode and also in our Instagram link tree. You can find it there to save 20% off your first 6 months. That's a huge discount, and you can get a free trial. So y'all check out Jobber. You're not going to regret it. Okay, so Greg, let's get into like I was telling you off air for our listeners of the show, which is growing weekly. We try to talk real business here in real life. So what would you say, Greg, you know, has been the biggest, I asked you this question yesterday, like if you were talking to a guy who comes up to you in the store, like the mall or the Walmart, and goes, "Hey, I see your lawn care truck. Like, I'm thinking about getting into lawn care." What would you say is the number one thing you would tell him what to do and then what not to do? When you're early on,
mm-hmm. What to do is you're very punctual. You're mm-hmm. on time. You answer the phone, you greet people, you know, treat them like they're your best friend. I think really knowing people on a personal level makes a big difference in this business. I think it's all about relationships. And I guess probably another thing, I would try to work, you know, solo for a while, get things really under wraps before you started jumping into the employee thing, and, you know, get a manageable list of things going first, whether you're mowing or, I don't know, doing aerations or whatever. I would try to just make sure that you were maxed out as a person, as a single person first. Really put the grind down. That's what I would do for things that I wouldn't do. I would not buy brand new equipment. I would not buy a brand new truck. I would not, you know, you can buy a lot of stuff even still for like less than 10 grand.
Yep.
You know, don't get yourself into a massive payment up here. It's like the salt ruins vehicles up here. It's right. Insane. So we have payments on 3 newer vehicles because they are our go-to plow rigs in the wintertime, and that's great. But if you're not gonna, you can just do more with less, basically, I think.
I agree.
So I would start small. You can always increase.
I want to hit on what you said, the first point, because I think that's really good. You said stay solo or like a part-timer as long as you can. I talked, we have, you know, a dozen or so people in our crew, our community group, where we do like coaching, calls, video calls and stuff. And I'd say through that, and then just the coaching calls I do one off, probably this season, the most 3 or 4 people I've talked to who are like, "Man, help me understand. I have a crew out there and I'm not making money." And I'm like, "What do you mean you have a crew?" And they're like, "Well, I have a crew and I'm like doing quotes and estimates." I'm like, "You're way too small to have a crew. You cannot not be on the mower." So it's a big mistake that I'm seeing people make lately, is like, as soon as they can have 2 guys out there doing a route, they get off. And I'm going to kind of like say this, dumb it down, because I think a lot of people probably do this too quickly. If you, Greg, as you know, if you get off the mower too quick, and let's say you're paying the mower guy $22 an hour, that's money mm-hmm. supposed to be going to you.
Yeah.
So like you're losing on both sides, because you were supposed to be paying yourself that money and now you're paying someone else. So the margins disappeared and you don't have enough crews to make up the margin.
Yeah. He needs to get a small trailer and another mower and be producing his own income in addition to what they're doing to offset.
Exactly.
Sounds like.
Yeah, and that's what happened. And a couple of the guys in particular did get back on the mowers and they're crushing it this season, profitability, but that I'm thinking of. But I think
I'm
it's a big
mistake.
Yeah, tell me about that. How are you so heavily involved?
We're running 3 mowing crews, and I fill in on the mower as needed. Mm-hmm. And I try to do landscape enhancements, weeding. We have excavator skid steers. We'll do small jobs. I like to do renovations, things like mm-hmm. that. So, I don't ever want to be an office person.
Yeah.
But I know that's definitely one of my big weaknesses, is you know, struggling with the bookwork and keeping up with things. And I've always wanted to be involved because I'm still passionate about it. And
right.
So that's, I don't know if I answered your question, but that's.
No, you did. I mean, I think one of the things we have to be honest with ourselves on is what are you best at and what are you not best at? And just because you're the owner doesn't mean you should operate within what you're bad at.
Yep.
And
that's one of the things that I wrote down here was definitely one of my regrets was not hiring for my weakness, which is book work and, you know, letting people in and helping me. And so that's one of the things I wanted to touch on was for people that really are involved and like to do the work, I think it's equally as important to have somebody helping you on the other end, whether it's your wife or even you hire somebody, you know, 20 hours a week just to help you with things. Like, you need to get that under control, because even I am 100% guilty of like, I can do that tonight or I'll let that slide. And then it cuts into your family time and it goes 10 days past when it's due and blah, blah, blah. So I think that's a really important point to stress.
I do too. I'm a really big believer in this part-time, reduced full-time admin role. I've been pushing it really heavy with some of the people in the academy. And we have one guy that just hired a girl yesterday. And the structure that I tell people is, well, if you, I don't know if you got, you probably don't run the 410s model.
We don't run 410s, no.
Okay, so let me say I'm speaking on this in the 410s model. So gotcha. I apologize. But hire someone 8 to 2 Monday through Wednesday and let make them in at first. So you cover 3 of your days and that you cover the bulk of the day. You don't really get a lot of calls, you know, 3, 4, or 5 o'clock from new customers. Right.
Right.
So, that's, 18 hours right there. You start them at 18, you know, if you need to run over an hour, it's 20 hours, like you said. And then if you get busy enough, add the fourth day and an eight to two person. I mean, think about all the employees that opens you up to that stay at home moms that
their kids are at school. Exactly what I was going to say.
I know, dude. Stay at home moms that your kids are at school.
I need something to do before I pick them up.
The lady who's retired, who doesn't want to work all day, but wants to work a bulk of the day because she's quilting or knitting, you know? Yeah. Like, so the talent pool, I think the guy, one of our coaching guys, he hired a lady yesterday who's like 40, single, takes care of her mother's home because her mother's older. So she just needs to have some flexibility with taking care of her mom. Mm-hmm. And I think she's like disabled somewhat. So being on the phone is perfect for her. So it's like,
that sounds like a great job.
They're out there. And I just don't think people look very hard. But all right, before we get into that part at the end, let me ask you this one.
Yep.
Because it sounds like family and faith are really important to you. Is that right?
Family, yes. I'm not a huge religious person, but I am Christian, and we do go to church. So I'm not. We're not like way into it, but I believe so.
Well, if you go to church, that's more than most, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're just not avid like weekly people, but
sure.
I think it's important for the kids, and we try to get them into the habit of it. You know, life is crazy right now.
Is it the Christian side or what Catholic or what?
It's Christian. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. What, we mow the grass for the church in town for free. So I try to help out.
You know? Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah,
so
I was just thinking about that. Our church, we go to producer Mac and I go to the same church. And I was literally, this Sunday thinking about that because I know they asked me to quote it a couple years ago and it's like a huge bill. We have a massive facility, a massive campus. And I was thinking about, man, how can I get somebody over here to like make this less of a burden on our budget? But so that's a huge blessing that you do that. So what I was going to ask off that, Greg, is how has family shaped how you built your business? So one thing that I've thought about these last several months after selling was a quote that I came up with or God led me to was, I shouldn't build my business around my family. I shouldn't build my family around my business. I should build my business around my family. And so how have you done that, whether it be good or bad, successfully or not? And where are you kind of at today with, you know, family, work-life balance conversation?
Well, I want my kids to see me in a positive light. I think that's the most important thing. I want them to know that I work hard and that I care for them. But to me, the money doesn't matter mm-hmm. as much as the family relationship and even the family relationship I have with my employees. I think that dynamic is also hyper important. So I have tried to be, I guess, Mr. Flexible. And, you know, I try to give a little bit of rope to my guys if they have family things. I take the rope myself. I think just building, you know, building something that you're proud of, I think is absolutely essential for entrepreneurship. And I think most people, though, in this business are super proud. I feel like anyway, so I want to be humble. I want to be proud, not greedy. And I'm just trying to teach my kids good values. So I don't know if that has anything to do with what I'm physically doing, but I just want to be a shining example for them. So, and then I don't remember the second part of your question.
No, you've answered the question. So now that you've said it philosophically, how does that shape out for you physically? So like, are you pretty much off every weekend? Are you home by 5:45 most of the time? Are you coaching the soccer team? Like, what is that? How does that physically come out with you wanting to be the dad and the husband you want to be?
All right. Mornings for me start off, I bring my kids to school. So, I get typically a later start, but I'm usually home by 5. I try to help with my kids in T-ball. So I'm not like, I was the full coach last year, but it turned out too crazy and I couldn't do it. So I didn't have enough organizational skills to balance the business stuff. And then like 20 little kids. So, I guess I just keep going and try to.
Well, what's a weekend look like is what I'm getting at. So like, for me,
right now I'm working Saturdays on the weekend. Sorry.
You guys work Saturdays too? Okay.
Just because I'm short staffed and, there's, you know, our growing season has begun for mowing. So I know once I lose my guys to mowing, it's like, it's hard to get everything done. So we're working Saturdays, usually half days, 5-6 hour days. So, but you know, I also want the guys to have their time on the weekend. So, I don't have a full crew on the weekend. My salary guys have the weekend off. And it's just the younger guys who want the hours that don't have families and commitments.
Let's talk about being understaffed. Why do you feel like you're like, let's cry together on this. What's the deal with being understaffed? Tell me the challenges of your market to find people, all that stuff.
I guess I feel understaffed because we're just not well enough prepared, I guess. I don't feel like I've had rough goes with some employees in the past and right now I have a really solid, good, awesome crew. But I feel like there's some experience that's lacking where you get it over time, but I think that me just feeling like I need to be in constant control of everything kind of sometimes becomes a huge bottleneck. So I'm working on trying to give the guys a little more freedom. You know,
so you don't
learn
you don't
by
have a
mistake.
Sorry, bro. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to ask you. So do you have like an operations coordinator or a foreman?
Not really. I have guy that I kind of trust more to kind of get the troops going in the morning. And, you know, we manage lists together and we go over crew stuff. One guy kind of drums up everyone. So
what's his title?
He's probably like the mowing foreman, I guess. We haven't physically laid it all out yet.
Yeah, I think that could be important. Let's lay it out sometime.
Yeah.
And so here's why I say it. And I think everyone's heard me talk about the 4-10s model.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so important. I talked to a guy in our group yesterday about this. If you haven't thought about it, like in reality, because everyone sounds like, that sounds great, Alex. And then like... But like, if you haven't laid it out like chess pieces, so like, imagine your schedule in that model. It's Because, no, I mean, let's be honest, Greg, you don't want to work Saturdays.
No, hell no.
Heck no. So, it's just like, well, what's
sometimes feel like we have to. So,
because why? Like extra jobs or mowing?
I just want to try to get things done in a timely manner. We have taken on some new work, but, you know, I like to try to make sure everything's done by Memorial Day for us. So that's usually like my cutoff date to make sure everybody's taken care of. You got mulch down. I realize that's probably way behind your timeline, but for us, you know, we usually get started the first week of April. And so I just, with projects and stuff that I have, everybody, you know, I think you only have like 12 weeks in the spring where you're going to get the most volume of your calls. The most people are going to want work, and you're going to have to try to capitalize on it. So that's the reason.
So
better time management could help with that.
Well, you're saying that so after Memorial Day, you're not going to be working Saturdays.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, even probably after this coming weekend, we should be maybe only doing two more weekends. Like, it's really just a short month of I need somebody to work on Saturday for half a day. Yeah. We're going to wrap up Mrs. Jones
Got it.
So, okay. I definitely I like the guys to have their time. Yeah, I like them to have their time.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a short sprint, not a long marathon there.
Right. Exactly.
All right.
I'm not an advocate for Saturdays at all. So,
okay, cool. So do you do a 5-day mowing route?
Yep.
So what happens if it rains?
We plug right through it.
What does that mean?
We put the rain gear on and we're mowing, man.
You can mow through the rain?
Yeah, we got John Deere's
with the tweels.
We have some with tweels. Yep.
I've never seen someone mow down here in the rain, so I'm trying to picture it.
I kind of expected to get that reaction from you, but
you have like the umbrella hats. You have like the hat with the umbrella, and you have
I have seen rain trench coat. Yeah, we've done the poncho thing before.
Yeah. Next time it happens, I need you to record it. So you could go just viral. You did it yesterday?
Yeah, I had guys in the rain yesterday. So, yeah, you know, the grass is a little more clumpy. You got to spend a little bit of time blowing things off. And just the way it's done up here, I don't know.
Everybody here screams about ruts. Oh, you're going to rut my yard up.
Oh, yeah. We get those occasionally.
Okay.
It just ends up being maybe a spot that we skip or something or have to trim.
What kind of grasses? What's the grass type up there predominantly?
You know, I'm not a huge, I don't have a lot of knowledge about grass. So, it's northern turf. We're like zone 3, zone 4 here. And, you know, Kentucky blue grows well here. Okay. We don't have any turf. There's like once a month, I'll see a True Green truck running around. Like, nobody does fertilization unless you're a big commercial thing. There's no real aerations. So I don't have a lot of turf knowledge, but you see here, like, your ryegrass and fescues and bluegrass, I would say, are probably the best three growers up here.
Well, anytime you want to talk about what a 410 would look like, I'd love to do it with you and shape it for you. I just think it's guys, another sponsor of this podcast is Ballard Products. If you guys are not familiar with Ballard Products, you should be. They are the world class, basically everything you could ever want for your landscaping business, physical products, whether it be mower flaps, if it's jacks for, you know, your mower going up, safety materials, mag tarps. They have blades, everything, man. Ballard has it. Using code GREENUP10 forever. You can use it on every single transaction. You save 10% off every single time. We appreciate Corey and Lindsay for giving us this promo code. They've always been great people and partners of the show. Hopefully going to have Corey on here soon. Make sure you use that when you go to Ballard Products and check out everything they have for you. You're going to save a ton of money and have the best products for your lawn and landscape business. Thanks, guys. Now, your market's a little interesting because you do have a finite mowing season, so you kind of want to get the most out of it you can.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. That'd be interesting for me to run that model, but but then you could do all your projects on Fridays is what I was getting at.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably work.
You can mow Monday through Thursday and then have three crews every Friday, knock out all these Memorial Day sprint jobs.
Yeah, that's something I never thought about, so that'd be good.
Yeah. So, yep. And then the only thing you're sacrificing is probably taking your kids to school, which you don't have to if you have a foreman that can lead the troops off the battlefield every morning.
Yeah.
But then getting them titled correctly, responsibilities. Like, do you guys have mission statement, core values, any of that stuff built out yet?
Not yet. No, I have kind of things that I've scratched out in the past. I was with another community group for a year, and we kind of worked on that stuff, and then that kind of completely blew apart. And so I just haven't dedicated any time to, like, this is what we're going to do. So
I would say one of my weaknesses when I was in this game in 7 months ago, full time, was how hard it is to, like, I was the runner of the company, 25 people, but I did hire a director of operations that would help me kind of, she dealt with more of the, like, in-house stuff than in the field, I would say, like customers and all that rather
That's
than
good.
Guys and people. But I did have two managers, but not for some reason, I had built the business on my back, so it always needed Alex to answer a question.
See, and that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you can let anybody but yourself do it.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to tell you before you get too big, or because you're at six, seven people. It's a great number to get all these things. You know, it's a business where I would think if you took a week vacation right now, you would feel like the guys wouldn't blow up, right?
Yeah, I can do that. Yep. And I have.
Okay. So 90% of people listening to this have no idea what that feels like.
Yeah. We try to go away at least once a summer. Right. Wintertime. That means
you have
a
business. What I'm trying to say is that means you have a real business. It makes money when you're not there.
Yep.
And so you're at that apex where now that means, okay, if I have a real business, it's time to have real core values, real titles, real PTO request forms. Like, it can't be, hey, I work for Greg, you know, hey, where do you work, man? I work for this guy, Greg, now. Like, that's who I work for.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, no, I work at Butler Lawn Care. Yeah. And I've got uniforms and I've got time. I have to, like, and I'm sure you do have some of that stuff, but yeah, it's time. Yeah. I mean, we could spend three or four hours, knock it out for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we do paid holidays. My salary guys get time off. Nothing's, like, really terribly structured, but, you know, I'll give them a week off in the wintertime paid, you know, stuff like that. So I'd love to have more structure. And I think that's kind of really what I'm lacking the most, is, like, structure as far as core values and PTO and employee expectations and, you know, standard operating procedures. So,
yeah. It's hard. Going back to what I was saying in the beginning of that statement was, like, it's really hard when you're in the midst of answering every call on the phone. Oh, we hit Mrs. Jones's gate. The dog tried to bite us. And then also focus on working on the business. It's very, very difficult. It's a mistake I didn't fix until it was almost too late, is what I'm trying to say.
All right.
Like, well, I worked,
we could
I got,
be there.
No, you're not there. I had 20 people before I started really working on it.
Yeah.
Now, we had a lot of the employee side handled. We had a lot of PTO. All that was good, but our operating procedures was bad. So if I wasn't there, because I was pretty, not militant, but like...
regimented.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we're going to be here at 7 every day. But like, there was no packet for anybody else to, like, know exactly how everything goes. I just told everybody and hopefully they were smart enough to catch on, and they, you know, so for me, I wish I had started that earlier. The other thing I wish I had started earlier was allowing people to fail in positions that couldn't hurt the company so that they could learn. And I wasn't willing to do that. I wasn't willing to, hey, go do this quote with me and I'm going to let you handle it with the customer, because I was nervous they would lose us the job.
Yeah.
But it's hard though. It is. And I'm at, I guess the question off of this is, I mean, you're at the size and the longevity where, like, you guys are probably pretty safe, pretty comfortable business, right? You're not, like, oh, we need this customer tomorrow, we're not going to make money this year, right?
No, I don't think so. But we always try to reach out to every opportunity we get.
No, of course. I'm saying, so if you, this guy that you have is like your kind of head honcho leader guy, you know, giving him some opportunities that are outside of your comfort zone, because I can already see you like your shoulders tensing. I would say it's a good time, talk to him, give him a title, say, hey, you're the operations coordinator, or he sounds more like a foreman, which I had crew leaders and then I had a foreman, and I don't know what you want to do, but we called the foreman the captain of the team.
Yeah, he could be a captain.
So like, hey, you know, you're the guy that everyone comes to as the, hey, best player on the team, what do we need to do today? And they'll take some criticism from you. They'll take some instruction. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Derek Jeter, right? It's like, yeah, that's the thought. So we had one foreman, seven crew leaders. That's what we did. And the foreman had the, all the crew leaders had the ability to like, hey, if you have any problems, like talk to me about it. But the foreman, like if he pulled me aside, he could talk to me a little more like, I'm weird like this, I'm cool with it. But like you can talk to me a little bit, not abrasive, but like bluntly.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Alex, you were totally out of line in the crew leader meeting.
Huh.
I gave the foreman permission, you know, to, because if he didn't talk to me bluntly, mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily catch on what he was trying to really say. Does that make sense? Like sometimes, you know,
honesty is the best policy, you know.
I let the foreman tell me
with me, and I'll be transparent with you. So I think 100%. That's probably the way to handle it. Sometimes it hurts to hurt people's feelings, but it might be what you need to hear. And you don't improve if you don't have conflict or mistakes or whatever. You don't improve. You keep doing the same things, and you need to have ways to improve your skill set or improve your person to person talking skills or your estimates or whatever. So
yeah, I love that. I totally agree with you. So I'm gonna ask you these last couple questions, Greg, and this is gonna be you helping us as a guy who's done really well, 10 years in, $500,000 revenue, multiple employees. I mean, you should be proud of what you built, man, for real.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thank you. I am proud.
You're welcome. So tell the audience who's listening what you're, I asked you two questions. They're different. What's the biggest regret? Meaning like I really screwed this up and I, you know, regret, I'm not big in living in regret, but it's something you wish didn't happen.
Yeah.
For me, I fired a couple guys via text message last 2 years ago, and I regret that every day. I laid them off, excuse me. And so that's mine. But so tell me your biggest regret, and then piggyback that with your biggest opportunity that you missed, because they're different. Opportunity cost versus regret.
Well, I kind of touched on one of them earlier, is not hiring for my weakness. And I think a better one for a regret would be hanging on to a bad employee for too long because you felt like you couldn't do without him. He was a good guy. And then fired him in a text message, just like you. And I totally regret that. I see him all the time. He works for another company. He's an absolutely outstanding worker, but he was a head case and he was hard to deal with. It was tough for me every day.
Yeah.
Knowing there was tension in the company, you know, like he was spreading cancer and, you know, for various reasons, it didn't work out. And I said, you know what? I can't do another year of this. He's great, but I'm going to have to find a way out of it. So I would say if you can see that it's bad, it's probably bad and could be worse than you think. So you need to kind of nip that in the bud. So that would be a regret that I wish that I would have taken care of sooner before it, you know, it could have crippled me really bad because he had kind of spread some bad stuff among things. And, you know, I wish him the best of luck and he's a really fantastic guy. It didn't work out for us here. So
yeah, it could be right person, wrong fit, you know?
Right. Like it definitely. And you know, I think he's doing well now, and I would,
good.
So
wish him the best. I think what you just said, I want to end on that. You talked about it could have crippled me. And that's why I asked that regret question, because it's not about living in regret, but it's like, you know, it agonizes you when you see him. You're like, ugh. You know, I saw one of the guys I laid off. I saw him for the first time the other day at the grocery store, and I was like, this is the worst. Because he worked for me for a year and a half, 2 years, and he was really a good guy. I just kind of panic. It's funny. I never panic, and I panicked whenever I was trying to sell a couple routes before I sold the rest of the company. I'd laid off 5 guys and didn't know how to do it quickly, because I didn't want them to come back on Monday and have to tell them Monday morning at 7 a.m. I didn't want to, like, I thought that was kind of wrong for them to show up and me do it. So I did it Friday afternoon when we were off in the text. It was so terrible. Yeah, but I thought it was right at the time. But crippling, you said crippling. And I think that is, I would love for anyone listening, we have people in Australia, Germany, California. If you have one thing you take from this episode today, what Greg just said is so good. Don't let the one thing cripple you, because it's a lot closer to crippling you than you think it is. In the service and trades businesses, I'm going to go on like a 30-second thing here. You can get tripped up out of nowhere, and that trip can lead to a broken tibia and fibula really quickly. And I think that I had my big regret was, for 4 years I had a manager who was awesome, but he was a lot older than me, and I had yet to learn. I have learned now how to manage people who were 15 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And we struggled. He added stress onto my day. He was amazing at lawn and landscape managing. He had 20 years experience, all that, but the guys couldn't stand him. And I held on to him for 2 years too long, because I liked him as a person. Like, as a friend, I loved him. Like, yep. Fish, we went fishing, church, all that. But at work, he was different. He was an ex-military, so.
Yeah.
And it almost ruined my company. I almost had half my team walk off the job. So, yeah, don't let the thing that's obviously in your face cripple you. Like, Greg, that's such a great way to end the episode. And I'll probably let that be the title, is, you know, don't seriously, because I think that's something that, you know, another thing, like, just like to piggyback off a thought, Greg, because this is so good. I had a young guy call me the other day, and he's like, hey, man, I did $1 million in revenue, but I have $10,000 in the bank. How did that happen? Help me.
Yeah.
And wow. So what he did was, he let his cash flow situation almost cripple him.
Yeah.
And what we found out was, he, you know, he wasn't invoicing on time, and he had too many accounts that just he let get down the line. And so don't let something cripple you. Get in a power position, put 50 grand in the bank, so you don't have to worry about the money side. Get your team situated, and then, you know, you're kind of playing with house money a little bit, right? At that point.
Right. Yeah.
Good, man.
You can bank awesome. It.
Yeah. Last question, Greg. What's one thing, if you could tell your younger self, this is a question I want to start asking. If you could tell yourself when you started, not about business advice, but about either spiritual or personal or emotional support, what's one thing you could wish you told yourself, like someone had come up to you and said blank?
It's kind of advice, but I definitely think that it rings true to one of the things in your lessons the other day. So Timothy verse 6:10, I think I have it saved somewhere here. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. What I would say, don't get greedy. Because I think greed leads to so many different things, and money changes people, and you're going to see it as you evolve in business. And, you know, it shouldn't be a status change. You know, you're still a business owner. You're still doing this. Like, be humble and be kind and be grateful. So don't let money ruin you as a person, because it can.
I love that. Where have you seen that play out, either in your life or someone that you've watched?
I don't know if I've seen it directly to the point where I'm like, wow, that's terrible. I've seen people's attitudes can change, and that's where I think you notice it first. But I don't want to try to be that person. I still try to be the humble guy that started on his own. I don't want to be seen as the person who let money take over, and you know, all of a sudden you got all these fancy cars and you're doing this and that, and
sure,
family man. And so I hope that I haven't seen it to an extent that it's like, you know, so-and-so is really doing well, or, I don't know if I'm answering the question effectively.
No, you are.
I can't think of on the spot someone where it's been like, wow, that, you know, that guy got a little carried away and things really went haywire for him.
No, you're answering it. I think if I can recap it in my own words for the audience, you're a person of high integrity. So for you, it's like you want, and I want people to look at us and our businesses and go, wow, they're doing a great job and they're not flaunting their success. They are here in the community to help. They're giving people jobs, opportunity. They're bettering the community and not just taking it all for themselves and indulging in it. And I think that's kind of what you were trying to say. Am I right?
Thank you. I think that sums it up pretty good.
You're welcome. The last, you know, Corey Ballard has been someone that was really, really important to me. And the guy's worth the most money of anyone I know in the green industry. And he's always been so humble about his success. Like, I've been to his house. I've been to his facility. I have spent 50, 60, 70 phone calls with him. And not one time did I ever feel like he made me feel like, you're the little guy. Why am I wasting my time? Or you're taking a lot of my time.
The little guy.
Yeah. I never felt like that. I still don't feel like that. He still answers my emails within 12 hours. And I'm a guy just from South Carolina that had a $2 million business, and it's not huge at all.
But he also remembers his roots, where he came from.
He remembers his roots. Exactly. And he's important. A fan. His kids mean a lot to him. I don't know if you're friends with him on Instagram personally, but like, you can see he's traveling around with his son going go-kart racing. And so he's a great
example. Brian Fullerton's event.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
So,
I just really, really, I admire that. And I admire you, man, Greg. I've really enjoyed talking to you. I could talk to you. We'll probably have to do another episode, but
all right, great.
I appreciate all that your insights, so that guys who are listening, these are landscape pro owners who are trying to get better every day and level up. And so I think they're going to get better by listening to our episode today. So everybody, this has been Greg Butler. I appreciate it, Greg. You've been listening to the Green Up Academy podcast, where we help you level up your green industry business. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
I didn't even mention that, but I was like, you know, one of the mistakes I wish I would have handled differently was getting a website earlier. So,
yeah,
you know, and you and I talked at the time and you were like, man, I'm telling you, he said, this is going to be the best $5,000 you've ever spent. And I was like, man, I don't know. It's the dead of winter. Like, how do I make this work? And, I really think the website changed things, you know. Not having to answer the phone, or giving people an answering service, and they can go to the website and fill out the estimate form. Like, that's just, I take care of it when I have time. So,
and then that sales piece, right? Where like, you've given someone a quote, they're trying to decide, and then they can go look at your website and look at all the stuff you've done, and it like solidifies the quote you sent, right?
Yeah.
I think that's one that people don't know how to measure as successfully, because it's like you're not in their house when they're talking about it, you know?
Yeah, it's a portfolio of all your good work, and here's their pricing, and this is what it is. So
I think it's sweet.
Yeah.
Guys, as you heard Greg mention here, we built a website for him over a year ago, and now, as we are Backbone Creative, we can build you a custom SEO-driven website, and we want to do it. We've got a great starting price at only $29.99 for a website that you own forever. So make sure you use code GREENUP to save. We'll give you a discount on that, especially for the onboarding process. We want to get you guys making money online. Your website is the most critical part of your marketing online. So make sure you guys have a website that you can be proud of. And Backbone Creative, we can do that for you. So you guys make sure you use that code at checkout or DM us, email, whatever the case may be, backbonecreative@gmail.com. We got you. So thank you guys so much. We want to help you with your marketing, and websites is a key.